Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, we do.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Got about one more hour to put up with us. Well, put up with me, and then we love having Sam here. We are the opening act for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas, then countdown to kickoff. Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas leading into the Falcons at Tampa Bay. But you hear that music, it means only one thing. It is time to talk to a guy we love, a friend of the show, the only person with his own walk-on music on this show, D. Orlando Ledbetter. D. Led, Happy New Year, man.
Hey, Happy New Year, Greg. Thanks for having me this morning.
Sam, we should ask D-Lay, if you get a second later today, we want to give you a present. We haven't given him a present. Do you believe that Ray Lewis could do impressions? Did you know this?
Did not know this.
We're going
to
give you some. Ken, you have it ready? Okay. I discovered this past week, and since we're talking football, Ray Lewis does a dead-on impression of Bernie Mac. Ken, hit it.
Oh,
this
man.
I'm trying to understand what I'm trying to tell you, Steve. No bad ass kid walking around here 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, no, listen to me for a minute, Steve, you know. Put your hands on me then, you know.
That's from the Steve Harvey Show. We tripped into that this week. I didn't know Ray Lewis had that kind of talent.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. That was spot on. That was Bernie Mac right there.
Go ahead, Sam. I just want to throw that in there.
And now that we got this story, D-Led, great to have you with us here. Look, Falcons and Bucks today, we're coming down to the end of a very frustrating season. What should we root for today for the Falcons to try to win? Do you want to save this draft position that we're in? How should we feel about this last game of this season?
Well, you want to see them play well, but not win. Don't get anybody hurt. And, you know, just get out of there with some respect and pride. Move on forward to the draft. You know, a lot of people on this roster won't be coming back. A lot of the coaches won't be coming back. So it's kind of the last page in the end of the era, really, you know, the post Michael Vick era, the Thomas Dimitroff, Mike Smith, Dan Quinn era is getting ready to end today. And in the Falcons' future is, is an open book right now. And so we'll see, they're ready to turn the page. They're not going to tear it all the way down, but it's going to look a lot different in 2021.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. See, now for me, D-Led, it's going in a different direction. Regardless of who we're thinking about picking or what our landing spot is as far as draft picks, we got to get a coach. And whether it's Raheem Morris or somebody else, won't that dictate where we start picking people off on the college tree as far as what kind of team we're going to have moving forward, even though we're still going to have Matt Ryan and Julio for another year or so?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. He's going to come in with his run system. If you look around the league, just at the three offensive coordinators, Tennessee looks like the closest match with Arthur Smith. Eric Bieniemy is coming from a mobile air attack that, you know, we don't have the mobile part. And then I look up at Buffalo, and they've got a you know, speed receiver, good young quarterback throwing deep balls all over the place. That's Brian Daboll. So, you know, Tennessee looks like the match to me, but, you know, Arthur Smith, but we'll see how they evaluate it. And maybe they have a trick up their sleeve like an old veteran guy like Marvin Lewis or Jim Caldwell, you know, to come in and guide a veteran team. Whoever they get, they got to have somebody that the team is going to listen to and buy into the program immediately. Otherwise, we might be on that whole coaching churn system that we've seen around the league over, you know, some years at, like a Cleveland or a Tampa Bay.
Do you let talk about that a little bit? Because I know a lot of people are watching teams around the National Football League who have to fill coaching vacancies this year. A lot of people have talked about, you know, being the fairness in the, you know, in the interviewing process, diversity interviewing process. The Falcons obviously are being observed from that perspective, right?
Yes, they are. You know, I know one think tank, the Global Sport Institute out at Arizona State, they're watching. They've done a 10-year study on all the hirings. And, you know, they pointed out that the Falcons are one of 12 of the 32 teams, 35% of the league, that has never hired a permanent head African-American head coach. You know, they had Emmett Thomas as an interim after Petrino left, and then Raheem Morris as an interim after Dan Quinn was fired. So, but, yeah, they're looking. You know, the league has made it a big emphasis because the patterns have been stagnant over the last 10 years between 3 and 4% of the hires hasn't increased from the previous 10 years, and, you know, since the Rooney Rule was founded in 2003. So they wanted to get better. They wanted to reflect more of their locker rooms, which is, you know, are 70% African-American. But the coaching staffs and the hierarchy of these teams are not. So that's being closely watched by Troy Vincent and his staff and Roger Goodell in the NFL. They've, you know, had meetings with teams and meetings with owners around the league to try to help out. And also the Fritz Pollard Alliance has been, you know, monitoring the hiring practices of the NFL teams for over a decade. So, you know, it's a lot of interest in these positions and how the NFL moves forward after it's, you know, coming off of the their pronouncement this summer that they should have listened to Colin Kaepernick in his social justice issues.
Dear Orlando Ledbetter, what's good? Joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. D-Led, I'm just beside myself because I don't know what to feel, as Sam said, about this team. You hear people say they're closer to being a contender than their 4-11 record. You got all these Pro Bowl players on this team we've been watching for the last X amount of years, but yet there's been one consistency: holding those leads in the fourth quarter. And that, I don't know, is it so easy to just pin it on coaching or the players that are out there on the field, but that's the one thing that just keeps rearing its ugly head. How does that change?
Well, I think you clean house as much as you can. I think that's the DNA of Dan Quinn's team. They come out hard and can't sustain it. You know, I don't know if it's conditioning or it's a mental chip there. But something is there that's got to go. And, you know, you got to get the whole thought process of the way they played out. Because, I mean, it struck in the Super Bowl and it stayed around. Struck big time. You know, they didn't close out games. They didn't play basic fundamental football at the end of games, you know, running the ball and running the clock and doing, you know, basic stuff. So that was coaching. Now, the other part might have been, hey, they might not have the ability to do it. You know, you see them throw consistently on 3rd and 2, 3rd and 1 instead of running the ball. So maybe the lines are not, you know, haven't been good. That's one thing I think over the 12 years, they built a great donut team is what we call it. And that means everything around the outside is good, but the middle in the trenches, not good or not great. You know, going to the pass rush, the run blocking, has never been at a high elite level. And just look at how many Pro Bowlers they've had over that time on the offensive and defensive lines. I think it's 1 or 2.
spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter at D. Orlando AJC, at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, I'm following him on Twitter this morning. Got a question. Obviously, people watching the bowl games this week are saying if Justin Fields is available at number four, being a local guy, do the Falcons draft him? You're saying doesn't look like it's time for them to go for a quarterback yet. Do they go for a running back that we've seen from either Clemson or Alabama? We've seen some of the top players with that fourth pick. What's the best way for the Falcons to go if that player is there?
Yeah, I think Justin and Justin's long gone by four after Saturday, after his performance. I think it's Trevor and Justin. But if he's there, God, you're going to be tempted to take him, you know, for a lot of reasons. You know, get some life back in the franchise, maybe move on or keep him under Matt for a year, maybe two. But, yeah, if he's there for it, take him. Don't even wait. Turn the card in and keep it moving. I've been looking at Micah Parsons from Penn State and the Penei Sewell tackle from Oregon as number fours for them. And then my guy Mike Cunningham, a columnist at the AJC, wants them to trade out and a mass pick because they got a lot of stuff to fix. So, you know, there's a couple different ways to do it. But if Fields is there, they'd be crazy not to do it. Be absolutely there'll be a riot in the streets if they don't pick Justin Fields at four, if he's there at four.
You know, I like to bring D-Lit in a conversation that you and I have had, Sam, throughout the year, and that is, and we talked a little bit about it right now. Sam made a statement earlier, D-Lit, about the Sun Belt more than any other conference during this college football season has done themselves well. And let him explain a little bit more. But my reason for asking is, do you see what has happened this past year in the college level? And we heard about some of the HBCU schools making allowances and getting some top recruits. Guys have committed there, basketball and football, and then also the other conferences. I guess this, what I'm getting at, has this pandemic been more of a plus to the smaller conferences as opposed to the big boys and having them helping them with recruiting moving forward?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it, because, you know, kids probably don't want to go as far as they, you know, went in the past. You know, if you're from Georgia and Georgia State's knocking on your door, and you know, Middle Tennessee, you know, they used to get a lot of Georgia kids up there. You know, you're going to go to Georgia State, you know, and then you could up, you know, being on TV probably a little bit more this year. It wasn't as cluttered on the TV because I know I watched a bunch of Mac games for some reason. I was always at the computer on that Mac Wednesday or Mac Monday, whatever it's called. But, yeah, I watched a lot of Mac this year, son. I know Sam and then, you know, did a lot of work with the Sun Belt this year, and great job by Georgia State winning their bowl game. I didn't get to see much Georgia Southern this year. I usually watch them too, and I try to get in some Kennesaw. But, yeah, it's been an interesting year. Profiles were definitely raised and changed with the playing field not being as cluttered with everybody not playing. So, and folks were inside looking for stuff to do, so you got to see a lot more stuff this year for sure.
Spending time wrapping things up with D. Orlando, but I gotta ask you about those guys up in Columbus, Ohio. After that win, you give them a chance against Bama next week?
Oh yeah, they're loaded. I mean, Ohio State is you know, the coach, you know, is doing a great job there. You know, people want to stay about the schedule, but I mean, you know, those other four games they probably would have blown out. You know, Illinois and Indiana and whoever else they would have played in the Big Ten. So not that big a deal. But Ohio State's loaded. They're on par recruiting with Alabama and Clemson and all this, and they got you know, the speed to play with them. Speed and the power is what, you know, Alabama throws out there, and so. We saw the Buckeyes stand up to Clemson and all the smack Dabo was talking. I thought that was some of the best football we've seen in a long time. So I'm looking forward to a major, major clash on Monday.
There you go. I love hearing him talking smack at Debo. Hey, listen. Hey, speaking of talking smack, his boys go at it against Pittsburgh today. They open a door for the Browns to get in the playoffs, and it's round two. Mason Rudolph is going to start against Myles Garrett, so that'll be an interesting watch too.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It's scary up there. They closed three of the last 4 days. We don't know who's playing, who's sick. The offensive line coaches are out. You know, they just can't lay an egg here in this one. They got to handle their business. This will be the second longest or the longest drought. They haven't been in since 2002. And Tampa just ended their drought. They hadn't been in since 2007. So the Cleveland folks are on edge today, ready to party. But, you know the history of the Browns. You know, when it's time to party, something usually happens and goes wrong.
Yeah, you're speaking to a Cubs fan. I know all about that. I know all about that. D-Lay, did you have a wonderful holiday?
Oh, awesome holidays. We had a great time, just real tight with just the girls and the queen, and a good exchange of gifts. You know, the kids are doing good in their career, so, you know, my gifts are getting better. I appreciate that.
Nice going, D-Led. You got all the great things. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. You deserve it.
We're going to miss you, D-Led.
Always.
Well, I thank you, Greg. I'm going to miss you guys, too. We'll, hook back up when this thing gets rolling again.
All right. That is D. Orlando Ledbetter joining right. Sam and Greg here. Yeah, we're going to miss him for a while, but we got to check back in with the professor because the man is an Esquire. So we definitely will be checking back with him.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. We're going to switch gears and talk college.
Absolutely.
College football next from a man who loves Alabama but hates Ohio State. That's Chris Mahler. He's going to join us from Saturday Down South next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Now more of Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yep, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. We are here. About another 35 minutes, we turn things over to the Wait For Tailgate Show. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas, and then countdown to kickoff. Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas, taking you to kickoff of the Falcons at Tampa Bay. If you're just joining the show throughout the day, throughout the show, Sam and I have been giving you sort of things that have stuck with us and are important to us for the mention that happened in 2020 now that it's in the rearview mirror. We actually haven't reached out to Ken. We'll get to him next segment. I'm going to save some of mine. But one of the things that we did talk about, because I want Chris to go check this out before we bring our guest on, is that if you didn't hear it, Ray Lewis on this football Sunday, Hall of Fame middle linebacker Ray Lewis, does the most dead-on Bernie Mac impression you ever heard. Wouldn't you say, Sam?
He's on it.
Okay. That's the way he was back. I wasn't sure if you heard me. Yeah, he was on Steve Harvey's show. So anyway, go Google that. But I want to welcome our guest in because we also talked about some of the losses this past week. We lost Phil Niekro, obviously. Big name here locally, but nationally as far as baseball, the winningest knuckleballer of all time. But we also lost somebody that I know our next guest. I'm going to guess that it affected him in a way. We want to welcome Chris Mahler on Saturdays Down South. We always talk to Chris when it comes to college football. But as opposed to Ginger, Sam, I think he was a Marianne man. I think he was a Marianne man, and we should take a second and note the passing of Don Wells this past week.
Yeah.
Man. That is a little bit before my time, guys. I was more of a Kelly Kapowski guy.
Oh, man, don't tell me you didn't watch Gilligan's Island. Everybody watched Gilligan's Island.
I watch reruns every now and then, like in the summers and stuff like that, before like Scooby-Doo. I forgot what channel it was even on. But, yeah, if I had to choose, I was definitely going to be a Ginger guy as well.
I told you. He's a Ginger dude. Business. Two drinks. You can see him walking into one of the nightclubs with a ginger on his arm. Listen, Chris. This past week was the best time of year for you. We should have had more games, but other than what we have now for the national championship game and how those played out, what were some of the highlights this past week from bowl season for you?
Oh, man, it was an incredible bowl season. The games itself, I had a blast. Like, the Georgia game was awesome. It was just awesome. Like, it was a terrible start for Georgia, but it was an incredible finish. I had a lot of fun watching that. You know, playoff games, again, not great. I think we're now in year 7, 10 of the 14 semifinal games have been, decided by double digits or more. It's not been a lot of fun. The bowl season itself was great. There were just some absolutely incredible games. I'll tell you what, I'm drawing a blank. Oh, the Coastal Carolina Liberty game a couple weeks ago. It was the same night as the Miami Dolphins Las Vegas Raiders game. That was a game of the year. just going back and forth, thinking it went into overtime, and it was probably my favorite game of all of bowl season, but it's been a lot of fun.
Spending time on the waitforit.com outline with Chris Marler. You can find him. He is social. You can find him at Vern Funquist. Tell us about the matchup we have coming up now, Ohio State and Alabama.
Yeah, so two really talented teams, one that deserves to be there, and it should be a really good matchup. I think that I love this narrative, and you knew
just
it was going to go off. So you,
yeah, yeah, he, oh, we yeah, caught that. We caught that.
I love how I heard it before I even came on. Somebody said Ohio State just showed they deserved to be there. No, they didn't. No, they absolutely did not. They're a fantastic team, and I don't think anybody, including me, is saying that they are not a talented enough team to be there. They do not deserve to be in the national championship game after playing seven games, four of them against teams losing records. I don't get this whole narrative of Ryan Day going up on the stage afterwards saying, we have a chance to write one of the greatest stories ever told. Have you not heard a lot of stories, Ryan? This is not one of the greatest stories ever told. It should be a fantastic game. Ohio State is very talented. You have a fantastic defensive line going up against one of the best offensive lines in the country. And then the skill position players, it's insane. It's future first-round pick after future first-round pick on both sides. Justin Fields is incredible in that Sugar Bowl win against Clemson. And you can tell they had that one circled on the calendar for a while. That was an incredible performance by Justin Fields and a gutsy performance. I mean, just I don't know what they shot him up with at halftime. Apparently, he said he did not know either. But a great win, and should be a lot of fun on Monday.
Chris Marler joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. No, listen, I kind of agree with him. Because, you know, wow. I mean, Chris for the longest time thought I was a Big Ten homer, and I was telling him, no, that's not it. And then I went off sideways on how everybody sort of opened their lane so Ohio State could get in there. Now, having said all of that, and Dabo's comments putting him at number 11 because he feels the same way Chris does, if you ain't played at least nine games, you shouldn't be in the top 10. Okay, cool. But they went and played the game. And so all the conversation then goes by the wayside, because then what Ohio State did to Clemson, you got, as much as I hate to do it, you got to acknowledge the win.
The win was great.
Well, the win is the what gets you to the. And you said that they don't deserve to be there. And as much as I don't like the way the sausage was made for them getting into the playoffs, I mean, I don't know who else they could have had to beat other than the game they're going to have next week to get to the playoffs, and they took care of Clemson. So you got to, you know,
absolutely. I think the two are mutually exclusive in terms of you can tip your cap and say Ohio State is a fantastic team. Do not sit here and tell me they deserve to be there. From you played two games since November 21st. You have had a week off in between every single game of the season except for two. You played back-to-back weekend once all year. Once. Every other team has played 12 games at this point, right? Ohio State, you said everyone kind of got out of their lane so they could make a way. No, the Big Ten moved everyone out of their lane so they could be in the national championship. And it's just, listen, nobody is saying they are not talented. That was a fantastic win. They beat Clemson. I would have loved to see what Bama could have done in Notre Dame if they had only two games since Thanksgiving. It probably would have been even worse. But, you know, I think the schedule where you have a week off in between every game, do you think that Ohio State might have been preparing for Clemson a little bit early, or the playoffs a little bit earlier? Or do you think they were really focused on that big, big showdown in East Lansing playing at Michigan State back in November before they had 2 weeks off to them playing the Big Ten championship they weren't supposed to be in?
That's what he's saying, folks. It's Chris Marler joining us here on waitforit.com hotline. Always let us know how he feels. Tell you what, Chris. They're writing some big checks out of Texas.
Yeah.
$25 million for the coach and the coaching staff to go. 3 weeks ago, they said this guy was going to be securing a job to keep all the recruits on board. Now Steve Sarkisian goes in. My question is, who gets Sarkisian's job at Alabama?
Oh, I was not prepared for that. I think that Jeff Levy at Ole Miss is probably one of the main guys they're going to go after. I'm hearing Freddie Kitchen's name a lot, which is, I remember when he was actually in Tuscaloosa last time as a quarterback. Not great, but, I mean, a hell of a job from Sarkisian to kind of rebuild his personal life just amidst a lot of criticism and skepticism about him personally. I thought it was a great opportunity for him. It's fantastic. But as you said, like, what a terrible situation for those recruits to see lied to. And also, guys, what do we have to do to get fired and get $24 million? Like, where do I sign up for that?
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah. I don't have to work and I get $24 million. Let's do this.
I said earlier in the show, Chris, that I don't think there is a fan base with more unreasonable expectations beside the Yankee fans than Texas Longhorn fans. Is that about accurate?
So spot on. Yeah. That is. I mean, that's what I was saying this earlier. That those boosters, man, I had a disagreement with one of my coworkers about this earlier. He said there would be no coaches fired in a pandemic year. And I was like, brother, you've not been around boosters enough. And the ones out in Texas are next level.
What I really wanted to ask you, though, and I think it's being sort of an oh, yeah, kind of a comment. And for me, the usual suspects made it to the top, and that's all fine. But for me, the takeaway from this season, at least so far, is the resurgence of two coaches. And one is Jimbo Fisher, and the other is Mack Brown. You can talk about North Carolina's loss to Texas A&M, but Texas A&M throughout their season was talked about as being a contender for the playoffs. They didn't make it, but they were there. And you talk about North Carolina. Mack Brown stood in front. I don't know if you heard the stat. I thought this was great. Mack Brown was talking to his team, and he was talking about the importance of them being at this bowl game and the fact that North Carolina hasn't played in a bowl game since the year before Mack Brown was born. 1950. 1950 was the last time North Carolina played in a bowl game. And that's that right there. When you talk about, and a guy who, by the way, speaking of Texas, who probably feels coaching right now is such a luxurious occupation compared to what he was like when he was at Texas. I just think those two guys, those two coaches and those two programs are worthy of a little bit more conversation as we look back on the season.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Jimbo, people want to give him a hard time, I think, because at Texas A&M, this is a lot under someone. It's just, you know, they always seem to have these preseason expectations, and then they would kind of fall off in November, like outside of the Manziel year. And so people got kind of tired of it. And I heard it all year this year about how, you know, like they were in the top 10 last year. Well, you know, they played five top 10 teams last year. There's a reason they lost five games. They were playing some of the best competition in the country. You know, I mean, they played LSU, Bama, Clemson. They played Clemson on the road voluntarily. So I think Jimbo's done an incredible job there. I honestly hope Mond comes back at quarterback for like his 13th year. But then Mack Brown, that is just so refreshing and fun to watch. And like, mm-hmm. I don't care if you're a North Carolina fan or a fan of a different team or a conference or whatever. It's just so refreshing to watch somebody go back to really where, you know, kind of all started for him. And he was able to build that program up. And see him. He didn't have his recruits in yet. Like, you see Tony Grimes last night, the defensive back, number 20, just all over the field making plays. Those are the kind of recruits he's bringing in. And it's been a lot of fun. And you have to know that Texas and those boosters and fans are sitting there like, what in the hell have we done? We have four coaches in the last 9 years. Mack Brown's over here in the middle of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, in the same conference as, like, you know, one of the best teams in the country.
Having lunch with Michael Jordan. Having lunch with Michael Jordan,
right?
Too.
He's getting like the prettiest color blue swag ever. I mean, just, oh, he's living it up, man.
Put things up with Chris Barler on this side.
Is it happening again?
Both of them outrunning the Gatorade. I think Jimbo has a hamstring issue right now. Can we line up a 40-yard between Kirby and Jimbo?
Listen, I got to give that to Kirby. But Jimbo putting on like the he had a little of that geriatric juice. He was rolling last night. I don't know what that says about the athletes that were chasing him, but I mean, I kind of expected out of Kirby. Every once in a while, you'll see Kirby dig deep, and he'll jump on the sidelines, or he'll run, and it's like, oh, he's still got it. He's still got it. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like the way Kirby looked, you know, on Saturday outrunning that Gatorade bath, there's no way you could tell me right now that he could not start in the defensive backfield for Notre Dame or Northwestern. Just saying.
That's Chris Mahler. He's gonna we're going to get you back next week. We're going to get your thoughts after the national championship game, or on the heels of it, I should say, because we'll be on Sunday. It'll happen next Monday night. But any more thoughts, and we'll check out the movement of this upcoming week. But, again, man, we want to get your perspective as we get in here. But know that you and I are going to have something to say next week.
Yeah, listen, if you're a betting man on it, I mean, put it all on Ohio State. Like, the value there is incredible.
All right. That's Chris Mahler. He is Saturday Down South, a friend of the show, and he will be joining us again next week. But we want to thank you for getting up this morning, man, and bringing the perspective. And enjoy the rest of your Saturday, or Sunday, excuse me.
Y'all as well. Happy Sunday.
All right, man. Before Mr. Crenshaw and I wrap things up, we're going to go around the NFL. That's next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. 6-9, although we're going to lose an hour over the next couple weeks as we prepare for the NFL playoffs. Going to be a smattering of different shows getting you prepared. But as always on Falcons Sunday, it's us, followed by the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Willie P., Hugh Douglas, 11-1. It's countdown to kickoff with Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas. And again, leading into the Falcons and Tampa Bay. Sam, one of the things, and by the way, if you're just joining us throughout the show, we've been talking about things that we will remember. We will look back. Well, obviously, there's going to be a lot of things, but those special events that happened, those special dates that happened in 2020, we've been sort of recapping and talking about this past year, also talking about people that we lost. You know, this day, by the way, bringing it up to current, a lot of stuff that happened on January 3rd. I mean, a lot of stuff that was pretty important, too, like Babe Ruth. This is going back to the beginning. Babe Ruth was sold on this day.
Whoa.
Yeah, I thought you were moved by that. Yeah, this was the day the Red Sox sold him to the Yankees. You remember how much what it was for? Now think about that. This is like 1920? Yeah, 1920.
Yeah.
$125K in cash. $350K in a loan. And that's what the Red Sox got for him. And I think somewhere in there was Nanette or something like that, the play that the guy from the Yankees owned. I think he gave him that, too. He did. I really do. I believe that. I think he owned or was, you know, the managing partner, like Al Davis, of that particular play. Anyway, that began the 85-year Curse of the Bambino. That happened on his day. I'll tell you, I'm just going to give you the call, and you'll know exactly what it is. There he goes, 99 yards and a half. You know what I'm talking about?
And a half?
Yes. That was Don Meredith's call on Monday Night Football when Tony Dorsett took off on the Vikings. They had the ball pushed back to the one-yard line. Cowboys got a penalty. So it was halfway to the goal line, right? So it was like, you know, 1 foot line, 1 yard line. They brought it back 6 inches or something. And then, boom. He took off, and the call was Tony Dorsett going 99 yards and a half. That happened.
Wow.
That happened on this day. Man, you're going to feel old. You're going to feel real old. A lot of people are going to feel old. But today, Eli Manning is 40 years old.
Really?
Eli Manning, 40 years old today. Again, I was just looking at some of the stuff that, you know, that took place. We talked about some stuff that, you know, shook our heads. We talked about Steve Sarkisian taking the job from Tom Herman. I mean, listen, the dude left. People would get an extensions if I told you that the coach that we currently have is 32-18 over 4 years. And he went 7-3 this year. And given the state of college football, we like to retain this coach. Would you not keep a coach who had that record?
I would keep the coach if I told my recruits he was going to stay.
I'm just saying, that record doesn't usually get yourself let go. And that's what Tom Herman had at Texas, which gives you, again, an idea of, you know, that fan base. So anyway, Sarkisian goes there. But we were talking about some of the other coaches earlier. We're talking about Jimbo Fisher. But who's our friend Mississippi State? And this past week, what did Leach do? And that, did you see the end of that game?
With Tulsa?
Yes.
Oh, man. That was.
But he sort of downplayed.
That was brutal.
Yeah, and he downplayed the whole thing. Again, I'm looking at stuff that happened on this day. And the last thing I wanted to mention was This was the day that Ali came back and fought Jerry Quarry. His tune-up fight. His first tune-up fight, which was held here in Atlanta, which, by the way, is now the basis for not only a podcast that's going on, but an upcoming movie about the robbery that took place and a story that you've told repeatedly here on this show about the parties that were going on around Atlanta, and one at the Chicken Man's house was robbed. And all them folks were just, you know, all the minks and the clothes and all that stuff was stolen. Well, again, I'm not telling tales out of school. This is actually being chronicled now in a podcast along with the upcoming movie.
That's fantastic. That was an amazing night.
Anyway, your thoughts, Mr. Crenshaw. We got a little delay going on here, so I'm not sure. So I know there was something you wanted to get off your chest about today's games and these matchups.
Great matchups all over the place. And you being a Chicago man, you got Bears, Packers. They're on the final weekend. We got some games. We got Dolphins, Bills. Should be a good one.
No, there's only one game for me.
Steelers, Browns, we just heard.
That's the one. That's the one. That's the one I'm looking forward to. That I'm looking for round two of, because, you know, Big Ben's going to sit out. Pittsburgh, I mean, they're locked into the playoffs, so they're pretty much giving the Browns an opportunity for them to get there too. Now, again, there's a handful of players sitting out, but Mason Rudolph is going, he's going to be behind center for the Steelers. And the last time he was in there, he got cracked over the skull by Myles Garrett, who, by the way, when he came back after the suspension, signed a massive contract with the Browns. So it wasn't about some knucklehead who always gets into trouble. This is a guy who just had a mental lapse for a little bit. I realize that he had a situation before that, but the player outweighs the act, I guess, in the minds of the Browns. He got signed. But these guys going at it again, not that it will happen, but it adds a little bit more drama to this game. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I know we're having some issues with Mr. Crenshaw on the other end. Ken, I want to bring you back in here because, again, one of the things that we had talked about throughout the show was what are some of the events from 2020 that are going to stand out for you or a big one for you? What will that be?
NASCAR doing the virtual stuff at home when they couldn't go to race, that was a big thing.
And I mean, well, hang on a second. See, you just threw me with that because I'm thinking you're going to say something having to do with how college football decided to go about their business this year. And one of the things I didn't even get the chance to talk to Chris about was, again, just the elimination of any conversation having to do with teams out on the West Coast.
Oh, man, that's their own fault. But to me, it's the NASCAR adapting throughout the pandemic until they came back. I think that was the most ingenious thing that anybody in sports did. I mean, because like football coming back, I mean, they just kept everybody as safe as possible. But
right. No, you're right. That's all we had. I mean, yep. Geez, those early days. We remember we were literally talking about that, and it was NASCAR and people trying to get stuff done virtually. And Jesse, you're right. Yeah, NASCAR.
They were the one sport that could do what they did.
Welcome back.
They could actually have their superstars take part in the eSport.
Okay. I don't know if you were in the middle of a sentence or we lost you. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, also, once they came back, NASCAR did so many things. Locally, Chase Elliott winning the championship, I think, was a big story as well. But also the fact that NASCAR addressed the social issues. I mean, we talked about, obviously, the thing happened with Bubba Wallace at Talladega and the Black Lives Matter car at Martinsville. But remember, that started here in Atlanta when they paused on the parade lap and to acknowledge the death of George Floyd, which just totally caught me off guard.
Yeah.
You had a NASCAR official on pit road who was black, who was down on one knee with a clenched fist up. I almost fell off my couch when I saw that, man.
Yeah, no, that was, again, for me, the stories, though, locally was Freddie Freeman and what he overcame as far as players. And nationally, what the NBA did as far as that bubble. Now, mind you, I think what NASCAR did in the beginning to kind of keep us going, that was great. But still, doing that bubble, $150 million, and nobody testing positive, that's great. Listen, Mr. Crenshaw, have yourself a wonderful week. We will be back next week. A shorter show, but we'll be back next week. Want to thank Ken Roundtree. Want to thank Deshaun Tate. Want to thank Chris Mahler. And, of course, D-Led for joining us. You guys have yourself a wonderful day. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Stick around. We got Wheel Feet Tailgate Show next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.